Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Vines. Welcome to the Vines for the 20th of February. Can you believe the 20th of February? Incredible. The weather is cooler and there might, just might, be some COVID relief on the horizon. I'm trying to mask my excitement when we talk about possible changes to the way things currently happen. We will see. Sunsets. Have you seen some good sunsets this week? Apparently, sunsets this week in Australia, and we could probably say Hallett Cove and Brighton and Summerton and things like that, have been extra special as a result of volcanic ash from Tonga last month. How about that? I read it in the news. And if you read it in the news, talking about reading in the news, lots of election candidate faces looking at us from the light poles now. We've got a month of that. And also the most amazing piece of news, did you realise that next Tuesday, the date will be 22/02/2022. And it is a Tuesday. I know for a fact that there are some schools that are having a fun Tuesday, and some students might even wear tutus. That's not a joke. That's not a Rob joke. It's real. It's for real. I know that's happening. Now, I'm telling you all this so that you are aware, and self-awareness... Do you see the way I brought that in? Self-awareness is one of the things that David will be talking about. Oh, well then, happy birthday to you. What a day. Well, are you going to wear a tutu? Come on. A little tutu. Fantastic. Excellent. Okay, let's sing. Let the flame burn brighter. What do we stand, eh? We'll walk the land with hearts on fire, and every step will be a prayer. Hope is rising, new day dawning, sounds of singing fill the air. 2,000 years and still the flame is burning bright across the land. Children, to fill the nations with your song. Let's go, let the flame burn brighter in the heart of darkness, turning night into glorious day. Let the song grow louder as the love grows stronger. Let it shine, let it shine. In the heart of darkness, turning light to the glorious day. Let the song grow louder as the love grows stronger. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Okay, the next song we're going to sing, Comfort, well, I'm going to sing and I hope you're going to join in with me. Comfort, comfort all my people with the comfort of my word. Speak it tender to my people all your sins are taken away. Lovely lyrics. Stay seated, that's okay. I'll get you up for the last chorus. Here we go.
Comfort, comfort all my people with the comfort of my word. Speak it tender to my people. All your sins are taken away. Though your tears be rivers running, though your tears be an ocean full, though you cry with the hurt of living, comfort, comfort. Every valley shall be lifted, every mountain shall be low, every rough place will be smoother, comfort. Taken away. Though your eyes see only darkness, though your eyes can see no light, though your eyes see pain and sorrow, comfort, comfort. Every night will have its morning, every pain will have an end, every burden will be lightened, comfort.
Everybody stands and sing it out, come on.
Comfort, comfort all my people with the comfort of my word. Speak it tender to my people, all your sins are taken.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Well done. Let's now introduce the Reverend David.
Please be seated. Good to see you all here today. And yes, look.
I'm going to sit
down. Some notices. Now, a reminder, with COVID, we're still... You're doing a really good job. I look out. You've done a great job. Maintaining our mask, maintaining our spacing, distancing. We've got morning tea, and we're doing all these things well. So good on you. Kudos to you. And again, it's just trying to... make sure we're keeping each other safe. Bible studies, we've got Lent starting in March. And February, March, that's next month, not far away. Fiona is doing a women's only Bible study on a Tuesday or Wednesday. If you want to get along and spend some time talking about the universe, men, things, men, life, men, no... Anyway, if you want to, I guess, have an opportunity to spend some time in that women's group, that's a wonderful opportunity. So again, it's either a Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on numbers. And so email Fiona, she should have her contact details there. I'm running a group on Thursday, 4 to 5 at the Vines. And again, the Grapevine will have a bit more notice on that. And we'll tweak it again next week or this week coming. Barb, this Saturday, Leon is still looking for some people to help out, even if you're doing a couple of hours, that'll be great. I also want to say a special mention to Leon and John Mudge, who have, you know, it seemed like a really simple idea, you know, we're going to put a dishwasher in, so we'll just move these cupboards and put it in. You know, whenever I do any manual work, it's like pick a number and double it. So what seemed to be a short job has turned into a massive job. So thanks, Leon. Thanks, John, for your help. And Colleen assures me the dishwasher is on its way. It's left Germany and it's somewhere sightseeing around the waters, I don't know, wherever. again, tea and coffee is also a chance for you to serve us. So if you're wanting a way to serve people, then get your name on our roster. Once every 10 weeks, you get to serve people coffee and tea, figure out some names, and eat some chocolate when no one's looking. Opportunity, just let, where are you guys? There, over in the corner. Let them know, Jen, what they would like to do. All right, kids, we've got some stuff for, looks like, Sammy. Okay, come on. It's lucky we've got some talent here today. All right, come down to the front. Let me grab this thing. We'll do it. Dave's dodgy drawing this morning. Oh, I'm getting older. Just jump down here. Jump down here. And I'm going to test out your brains and your ability to interpret. You want to hold this one in? No, okay. All right. So you're going to have to talk with me. What is this? Sun. Thank you very much. Okay. What is this? Okay, thank you. What is it? Flower. Yep, good. Shadow. Okay, so the sun. You with me? All right, good. That's good. All right. What about this one, fellas and fellowesses? Almost. House. All right. And what is it? Well, what, okay, so sun shining. Shadow. Okay, good. We're establishing that. Now, here we go. Good luck online. People, good job. Oops, something wrong with his foot. Oh, they made that a bit of a mistake, but. Doesn't quite work. Let me just... Sam, don't look. It's going to be a bit of mess here, buddy. I'm just going to have to do this a little bit higher and make the person a little bit smaller. Okay. All right. So, what's that? What is that? So, we've been talking shadows. What is this? What could this be? Heart. So, how is it possible that... All right, so... I'm going to get you to try and do something. What? How can this person have a heart when it's a shadow? So why is it that this heart is a part of this person's shadow? What could that possibly mean? He's shaped as a heart or she's shaped? What do you think? He loves God, yes. Or what else could this be? We're close. So the love, okay, tick. What could this be? Let me help you out. Self-love. Everybody's just going, whew. All right, So this is interesting. It looks, yeah, it does look like someone stepped on their toes. My bad. But so the idea is, so normally the sun shows a shadow, and when we have Jesus as, this is what I'm just making up now, Jesus in our lives, then our self-love. So when the shadow is, we've got the sense of love. You like that? And look, that's the idea. So when we love ourselves, when we love God, God helps us love ourselves. All right, I think I've probably gone as far as I can with that today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you love us and that you help us love ourselves. We ask that as we continue to grow in our lives, that you would help us discover how much you love us so we can love ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks guys. Thank you people.
And to have a shadow, you need a lamp. And this song is, Thy Word is a Lamp Unto My Feet. How good are we in getting everything joining together? This is incredible. You'd think it was planned that way. Let's sing it. Standing up.
Oops, sorry. That.
Okay, let's sing. Come on, all together. Here we go now.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, I think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet I'll forever be wandering. Jesus, be my guide, hold me to your side, I will love you to the end.
Can we go again?
To my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Oh, we were going to do a different ending to that, but let's sing that last bit again. I think some of you people are singing without your mask. I can hear your voices. You're amazing. You're sneaking it out. Let's do that chorus again.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Sing it out again. It goes,
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Sing the last line again.
And a light unto my path.
Extend it out.
And a light unto my path.
I can hear singing. You're amazing.
It's beautiful.
Let's just offer our prayers for the offering. Lord Jesus, we thank you for life. We thank you for another day. We thank you for another week. We ask that as we offer to you not only our lives, our time, our talents, and our money, that you would use this in the world in which we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. The reading this morning is taken from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 10 to 16. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolishness to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
In preparation for
coming to this prayer time, I came across another prayer that reminded me of our need as we pray, for others, not only to think about our relationship with God, but of course to think about our relationship with others. And so I want to initially bring a small portion of this prayer that helped me in my thinking. So let's share together. Giver of all good gifts, Spirit of life, endow us with your love, that we might love the unlovable. And with your joy, we might reassure the discouraged. Grant us your peace, that we may soothe the embattled, and your endurance, that we may carry the troubled. Bless us with your gentleness, that we might tame the wild, and with your humility, that we might subdue the proud. Send us your patience, that we may calm the angry, and with your faith, that we might trust the unknown. So, dear God, we reach out in our beings to you as our minds grapple with so many things. How troubled we are that people are threatened with war. It seems to go beyond our understanding that weapons are massed and threats are made on the borders of Ukraine. We pray for sanity and peace. Our minds go to the many who are living under horrific threat in so many other countries. O God, we pray for peace and goodwill amongst all people. Our thoughts and prayers go to the poor, used and abused in so many places, indeed, even in our own country. We are made aware that huge wealth is in the hands of the few. Let them be touched by this need. But we also pray that we will not be daunted in our response to them. We pray for those who suffer from fire, flood, and wind in our world community. Our prayers are that these people may not be overlooked by those who can provide help for them in their need. O God, we cannot ignore the horrors of racism so rife in so many places. We shudder at reports of racism so near to us. And we pray that we shall be open and sharing in our relationships with all people, brothers and sisters in your grand creation. Lord God, we continue our prayers concerning the COVID pandemic as leaders in the world grapple with the best way to act. Please guide our people who have responsibility and health issues. Give them sense and sensibility, we pray. We sigh as we face the prospects of elections. We certainly pray for wisdom amongst the avalanche of promises we receive. We are aware that entrenched partyism is within our electoral expression. So, dear God, we hope and trust that wisdom will be seen in the selection of appropriate candidates and in the voting action. We bring our private prayers for others. We think of them and bring their names to you now. And we thank you for your love and your care for each of us as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Stay seated for this one.
Come, Lord Jesus, come into this weary world. Oh, how we long for you to come, Lord, come. Wars have come and wars have gone. Come, Lord, come. Still the cry goes up, how long? Come, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come into this weary world. Oh, how we long for you to come, Lord, come. Hearts are breaking, tears fall down. Come, Lord, come. Come and free us, we are bound. Come, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come into this weary world. Oh, how we long for you to come, Lord, come. Darkness grows as night wears on. Come, Lord, come. Will we live to see the dawn? Come, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come into this weary world. Oh, how we long for you to come, Lord, come. Nations rise and nations fall. Come, Lord, come. God is with us through it all. Come, Lord, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come into this weary world. Oh, how we long for you to come.
Lord God, as we consider the words we've heard already, the words we've sung, the prayers we've joined in with, we continue to ask that you'd stir a light within us so we would continue to love ourselves as much as we love others. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I have to tell you that I had a dream last night that I was preaching until 10:45 this morning. So that's 45 minutes from now. So I'm looking at my notes thinking, wow, I'm going to have to be really inspired to stretch this another 20 minutes. So you've been warned. I'm not sure what the Spirit will do, but we'll find out. So this week, it's good that we've reminding ourselves of failures, because one of the things I realized was I'd actually forgot to change the title of this week's service on the slide. This week, we're looking at self-awareness and the mind of Christ. So that's actually our theme. So if you joined in and thought, man, this is deja vu, this was last week, you're right. So first week we looked at valuing our uniqueness and that of others. Last week we looked at failure and forgiveness. And this week, self-awareness and the mind of Christ. Now, one of my favorite quotes that I use, doesn't matter who I'm mixing with, doesn't matter what age, without self-awareness, you cannot change. Without self-awareness, you cannot change. So if you have found yourself in the same predicament time and time again, I would say to you, you're missing something. You need to stop and have some self-awareness about what is going on. Because without it, you'll just keep doing the same things. Same patterns. Now, it's a confronting quote, but it's also a life-giving quote. It's a truth that I think that, for me, has been something that I've lived out and shared with others for decades. And it actually is not a DJP original. It comes from this slide here. The next slide. The upheaval of grief, or naming our grief, comes from NALAG grief model. So it's the Glanville train accident last decade, 77, where lots of people died. As a part of their endeavor to make sense and help the people who are suffering, the family and all those who are grieving, they came up with this model. And so grief is like a maze. So when something happens to you, you can seem to be making movement this way, and then suddenly it's blocked, and you have to backtrack and go sideways. So it's not a clear thing. It's not simply going through five steps and you've done it. It's just a complex maze of mess. And really, they're talking about the process, and it starts with a crisis. You can have shock, separation, and you have all these different emotions as you struggle to let go. Then you find new energy. And eventually hope, growth. And it can happen. You can have lots of these things. You can have one at a time. It's just all over the shop. So it's a really helpful model. I've used this with soldiers. I've used this in hospital settings. And really for me, it just picks up. When you look at all the different names, you can identify different things you might feel. And they might vary from year to year depending on what is happening. And often I'd print this out and get people to circle how they're actually feeling. Because again, it's self-awareness comes from becoming aware of what's going on. So if you want a copy of that, I'm happy to send you one. But it's without awareness, we cannot change. And I guess part of that is be honest and courageous enough to say, well, what is the truth? We all know people who just... if you have a conversation or an argument with you, they're never wrong. Have you ever experienced that? It's like, man, I was in this conversation with you, and I can tell you, I saw things differently. That's where I think it would be great if we all had head cameras. So we have an argument with someone in the shops or over the phone or whatever it is, and we've got a recording of it. And so if you want to have a discussion with someone, say, let's sit down and watch what actually happened. That might be a bit confronting because it works two ways, doesn't it? We get to see what they said, those little nods or the little sighs, mannerisms, but that also gets to hear our own. So in that way, it's a little confronting, but it happens to all of us. So I'm in my 50s, I'm getting towards 60, I've had a lot of experience with conflict. And I have to say the last couple of years have been really stressful. Because in the army, I'm under authority. And so when my commander launches into me, I normally have to sit there and say, yes, sir, no, sir. When really what I want to do is get up and just launch. And so it's not often you see, Padres getting discharged from the army for disrespectful behavior. So one of my growth areas is being able to be calm and confident in conflict. That is a current goal I'm working on. So this is not something that just applies to when you're young. So I've had so much experience, and this is something that's still a real live thing. And so part of the reason I had to get to that is because I began to find myself starting to fire up, which is not a good thing in that context. So self-awareness invited me to actually say, you know what, Dave, I have to do things differently. Otherwise, it's going to be a messy year. So self-awareness is a vital tool to make our lives easier. Because whenever I engage with someone, I have the capacity to actually sit back and look at it from a distance. A bit like doing something on a board. You draw it and you stand back and think, okay, there are some things that work really well. That last drawing was a fail. I didn't really explain love. We love others, but what does it mean to love self? So I have to go away and think on that a bit more. But it's a bit like our conversations with other people. You know, if we stuck it on a whiteboard and thought, you know, actually I did this really well, but I didn't do that well. My intent wasn't to do this or say that, but actually what I wanted to do is make that person feel, but because I said this or I went like that, it meant they didn't. Because it's really a magnificent tool if you are courageous enough to do that. Many people do not. And we live with those people all the time. And that makes life a little bit more complex and difficult. I'm responsible for my behavior. This is the next slide that I also, and I guess you're having a bit of a run through my brain currently. This is how I process life. One of the things for me, we have to be accountable for our actions. Regardless what happens, I am 100% responsible and accountable for who I am, how I express myself, and how I relate to you. As much as I'd love to blame everybody else for my reality, truth is, I see things in a particular way, which shapes how I behave and interpret and process stuff. It's a bit like wearing sunglasses. Who's got a pair of brown sunglasses they wear? Or blue? What color do you have? It's amazing when you take them off and or put them on, the world changes color, doesn't it? So we all wear our own sunglasses in life. We all have our own perceptions. The challenge is being able to take them off and have a look. So why are we talking about this? Because fundamentally, self-awareness is being honest. And when we're Christians, the Holy Spirit's role is to keep us accountable. People don't like to hear that. Often we think, oh, the Holy Spirit makes us feel good, fills us with the Spirit, la, 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 la. But actually, the Holy Spirit keeps us accountable to our faith, accountable to Jesus, accountable to the commitments we've made with each other to be the body of Christ. Action reflection, we take responsibility. And actually, rather than being something that's hard and bad, I find being responsible and accountable liberating, because I've got no one to blame but myself, really. And that's life-giving, because it gives me the capacity to drive my own car rather than give the driving off to someone else. Hey, you drive my life for a while, so I've got someone to blame. We drive our own cars. We drive our own lives. Now, this next slide picks up some of this tension. See, when Jesus was around, there were people trying to trip him up all the time. And John chapter 8, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before them all, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery." So they found her in bed with someone, dragged her out, probably half naked, into the street. Now, in the law of Moses, commanded us to stone such women with a big rock and kill them, basically. Now, what do you say, Lord Jesus? What do you say, Rabbi? What do you say, teacher? They said this to test him, so that might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. It'd be wonderful to see what he was writing. Interesting. What would Jesus have been writing? Could have been writing Jesus. When they kept on questioning him, Jesus straightened up and said to them, Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Now Jesus was trying to protect this woman because they're all hypocrites. Because actually, in this sexist crowd, the truth was that someone getting caught in adultery, both the male and the female were supposed to be stoned to death, not just the female. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they now? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." Jesus' encounter with this woman was one of those moments where self-awareness could occur. Before you can change, you needed self-awareness. Jesus was providing that opportunity for her to become self-aware about her behavior, how she was living her life, about what it meant to be judged. But he was also doing the same for the crowd. Hypocrites, sexists. So the woman, in her vulnerability, dragged before Jesus, half naked, experiences something about what the love of God feels like. That intimate moment of acceptance despite failure. Love despite potential punishment. In our book we've been reading, Roberts, in the next quote, really Robert Wicks picks up this great tension about how this works. Let me read it to you. Power comes from true self-awareness. For in really seeing ourselves, we see the almost unbelievable. We are actually witnesses to God's activity embraced in our own thoughts, feelings, and actions. The search is designed to foster self-love, Christian power, and courage essential to Christian life. Now that's a big, maybe that's why I'm going to be preaching till quarter to 11. That's a pretty congested full paragraph, isn't it? It's massive. When you unpick this. Power comes from such true self-awareness. For in really seeing ourselves, we see the almost unbelievable. We're actually witnesses to God's activity embraced in our own thoughts, feelings, and actions. Designed to foster self-love, Christian power, and courage, essential to our Christian lives. I'm not sure what you really like about that or connect with, but for me, the woman caught in adultery, God was present in all of that experience. In all of our experiences, the thinking, the feeling, how we see ourselves, God is in all of that. Just a Sunday morning, 1 hour session. And a part of that self-awareness in faith is to make us foster self-love, Christian power, and courage. Courage. You are courageous. We are called to be courageous because we are being honest and open to who we are and what's going on. Jesus came so that we might have abundant life, not shameful life or half life or whatever. That we might be full of life and love. And this is where it begins to roll into the understanding of the mind of Christ. The reading from 1 Corinthians, which was pretty heavy going, and as Paul weaves his argument really technically, "For who has known the mind of Christ so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ," says Paul. So what does the mind of Christ look like? So I found this picture. I think it's really a nice picture that invites us to think about, well, having the mind of Christ, what is Paul talking about? What is it? Could it possibly look like? Can someone tell me what is the one fruit of the Spirit that is missing? What was that one?
Goodness.
Goodness, yes. Yeah. Goodness, yes. Generosity, goodness, yes. The depending on which translation you look at. So, the mind of Christ. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Now, I have to tell you, I did spend many times thinking about this. It's actually a hard concept. I mean, how many times have you stopped and thought, I have the mind of Christ in me? Put your hand up. I'd be really interested. Okay. Available? Yeah, so it's available to us. What does it look like? What does the mind of Christ look like? Interesting question. And thanks, Heather. Yeah, and gee, what does it look like to have the mind of Christ? As I explored this, there was a particular hymn that came to mind. And I'll show it. Next slide. May the mind of Christ our Saviour. And it's really a fortuitous connection because I really was struggling to, what do I preach on the mind of Christ? What does that look like? And this hymn actually, when it came to mind, was really quite a powerful way of actually explaining and exploring it. It was written in 1925 by Kate Wilkinson, who was a Scottish Presbyterian who worked with women and girls in London. So obviously there was hardship in her ministry, and this hymn was written in response to working with these women. And what's interesting is, unlike many songs, or this hymn does not start with, give me the heart of Christ, give me the eyes of Christ, or give me the hands of Christ. The hymn starts, may the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. Actually, let's go back. We'll say the first verse together. We'll say it together. May the mind of Christ my Saviour live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. I found that really a powerful thing, and I have sung that many times, but really haven't considered it. What does that mean? What does the mind of Christ mean? Let's say the second verse. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and accepted and perfect. And I reckon that's a bit of sabotage, because that's Romans 12. What it should say is, may the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. Again, I'm going to have to sack that person who does my PowerPoints. Oh, hang on, that's me. I have to sack myself. Second verse. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. So the hymn doesn't focus on some esoteric experience, but it really connects with this emotional connection with God. It's trying to say, well, the head and the heart are connected. And I love the idea of living hour by hour. So if she's saying that in her hymn, it means that things are pretty tough, aren't they? We don't normally live hour by hour unless things are tough. So she's really saying when it comes to the crunch and we're living hour to hour, the invitation to the prayer is to have Christ within us. Let's ring the third verse, which is actually correct. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to comfort sick and sorrowing. So again, here she's talking about the mind of Christ comes into our lives, connects with our heart, so that it's not all about ourselves, it's about how we relate to others. That we might be present with people's sickness and their sorrowing. Next slide. Let's read verse 4. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. Him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. Christ humbling himself by taking on the likeness of a human being. Easter is coming along where Christ humbled himself to death on the cross. The invitation for us is to continually pick up this humility, which for me, humility is having a balanced sense of self, to be able to actually be able to say, yeah, this is who I am, this is, yeah. So that humility is a significant thing, which is a different victory to the world. Let's say the fifth verse. May we run the race before us, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as we onward go. So again, this picks up endurance, doesn't it? It requires strength, courage, bravery to run this race. It's not your best life now. This blood, sweat and tears, this confronting is a foe. Strife, this struggle, this heartache. Self-awareness helps us deal with these tensions. And this final verse is actually the one we don't sing, but she wrote. So we'll say that as well. May the love of Jesus fill us, strong and brave, looking only unto Jesus, definition of victory. So what I liked about this journey of self-awareness we're on, as Christians, it's not simply thinking, but it's connecting our head and our hearts. It's being courageous in how we approach things and the honesty in which we deal with conflict, life, and dramas. And you'll be happy to know that not all dreams come true. So I'm actually finishing up now. I'd like you to think, next slide, what is one thing you are connecting with? What is one thing you're taking away today about this? I've given you a whole lot of stuff. What is one thing you are taking away today? Lord God, we continue to thank you that you open our lives to new learning, regardless what age we are. Continue to fill us with your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So regardless of what age we are, so if how old would Kate Barclay Wilkinson be now if she wrote this in 1925? Yeah, that's amazing. So we're about to sing a song, a hymn, some amazing words that have been written a long time ago, and we really are going to, they certainly speak to me, so I guess they speak to you too. Let's go.
My Saviour, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God grow richly through my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may become to comfort sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea, him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only on to Jesus as I.
As you go into this week, know that the love of Christ goes with you. And may the mind of Christ be a part of your thinking and your experience this week. Amen.
Verse 5 again.
May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking on.